little bit about the Word. And he'd say, well, the Word will start to, when you get filled with the Word, that's when it'll start to work for you.
Right.
So is that scriptural? Well, the Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled, praise God. And so it's up to us what we get out of today's message, right? It's up to us what we get out of God. You know, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, not blessed are they which do show up, not blessed are they which fill a seat. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness, or the things of God, God's plan. And so let's just make up our mind to be hungry this morning for the things of God. You ought to be on the edge of your seat spiritually. I don't mean naturally, you might fall off. But if you want to be on the edge of your seat naturally, that's fine. But spiritually, we ought to just be what's going to be said today. What is going to come through his mouth from the Holy Ghost today that's going to help me? Amen? Praise God. So before we get into that, let's pray and believe God for that utterance that we need. And whatever he wants done, done. And whatever he wants said will be said. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Father, we know your plan is good, not only for us, but for your church. And Lord, we know it's always centered around the Word of God. Father, anything that we do is by the Word of God. So Holy Spirit, help us to minister the Word today. Help me to say what needs to be said. Let me speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But we need a demonstration of the Spirit and power today. Help me to speak as if I'm speaking straight from the throne room of heaven. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And I thank you that what will come through my mouth this morning will hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that, Father, is something will be said to every single person here this morning that'll be pertinent to their lives. Lord, you know where everybody is in life. You know what everybody's going through, and you know what everybody needs. Only you could meet the needs of every single person in a service like this where so many people are represented. So we thank you for utterance, we thank you for boldness, and we thank you for change today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open the book of Isaiah chapter 55. You know, last night, in Olean, and it's been, sometimes we do the same thing in Olean as we do in South Dayton. And I had just thought in my mind, you know, it seemed like we were going to do that. But yesterday during the day and on my way to Olean, the Lord dropped some things into my heart. And I love when he does that last minute, because it seems like when he changes things up last minute like that, and I follow that leading of the Spirit in that direction, it seems like it seems like there's a lot of fruit from those services that people are like, wow, that's what I needed. So I'm excited about the Word's always relevant to our lives. But Isaiah 55 and verse 10 is where we're going to go. But before we do that, I do want to obey my spirit in what the Lord said to do. If you have a notebook, that's good. You can use that. If you don't have anything to write on real quick, you know, grab one of the green envelopes in the back, grab another white envelope, or grab a blue card. Just for a second, I want to obey God. Not that you have to take notes the whole time. But this is what the Holy Ghost instructed me to do, and you'll see why at the end of service, is I want you to take a piece of paper. Again, if you need to use something in the seat back in front of you, that's fine. And I want you to draw two lines on it, one on top, one on the bottom, and space to write something in each line. Say, wow, this is weird. Well, I've never done it before, but when you follow the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit told Jesus to use spit to heal a blind man. Well, you probably thought, that's kind of weird, Jesus, but a weird Father, but he just followed it and it worked. So put two lines on there, and on the top line, what I want you to write is I want you to write a problem you're facing right now. I want you to write, maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a physical problem. Maybe it's an emotional problem. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's something to do with your children, something to do with your business. But I want you to go ahead and write that down on that sheet of paper, and then just kind of tuck it away in your Bible, and we'll pull that out later, okay? We'll see why, and you'll be blessed for doing so. So write down a problem, whatever it is, financial, physical, emotional, mental, depression, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, anger, something to do with your children, something to do with your business, something to do with your life. And then tuck that away till the end of service. And I want to look at Isaiah 55 and verse 10. It says this, and if you didn't bring your Bible, we do have one up on the screen for you, but I do encourage you to bring them to church with you. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 says, for as the rain comes down, but we know all about that this year. The rain's been coming. And the snow from heaven, we qualify. This verse must be about Western New York. The snow from heaven and returns not there. You know, when the rain and the snow come down, we don't see it shooting back up into the sky. It stays here, right? And we see it has a purpose, but it waters the earth. Now, what's it do after it waters the earth? It makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So the Bible, even though we sometimes are kind of disgusted with our weather, rain has a purpose. Now, the moisture, precipitation has a purpose, doesn't it? To do what? Water the earth. To make it bring forth and bud, right, which is a good thing. And that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it's saying that the rain and the snow have a purpose. It waters the earth, which causes the natural part of the earth to change, right? It changes. All of a sudden brings forth and bud. Well, that's a change. That's something that wasn't there. So it brings forth bread. But then it says it does it for a good thing, that there may be bread, or give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it's saying that it goes for increase, is what it's saying. Now go with me to verse 11. And it says, so shall my word be. So now he's saying, you can now compare my word to the rain and the snow or the precipitation. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me, void, right? Like the snow and the rain don't go back up into the sky. But it shall accomplish that which I please, which, like the snow and the rain, causes it to bring forth and bud for a good reason. And it goes on to say, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. So the Bible is saying that the word of God is likened to what the snow and the rain, the precipitation does. That when it comes down, it hits the environment, or the natural realm, it waters that realm, causes change to happen in that realm for the better. And he says, my word does the same thing. When my word goes forth, it waters whatever there is, causes it to change for the better. Amen? Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 20. So the word has some supernatural changing ability powers with it. Amen? Do you see that? The ability to change the natural. Glory to God. Proverbs 4 in verse 20. Proverbs 4 in verse 20. The word of God says, my son, of course, daughters included, attend to my words, or the word of God, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice it takes effort to hear the word.
Yes.
It won't just fall into your lap. You got to make an effort to go to church. You got to make an effort to be in the word on your own. It says, let them, the word of God, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now notice this. Remember the word and the natural changing abilities that the word has that we saw in Isaiah 55.
Yes.
It says, for they, the word of God, are life unto those that find them, which means this. Now, somebody could find the Word of God and have destruction, despair in their situation, but the Word will cause life to spring up. Do you see that? Life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So you could say it this way, that the Word of God is also like a medicine. That when somebody is sick, or somebody is hurting, or somebody in their situation, because it said it brings life to their situation, it's not just talking about physical changes in your body. It's talking about, Jesus said this, he said, I have come that you may have life and more abundantly. Not just health, not just prosperity. He wants you to have Zoe kind of life in all of your area, in all of your areas, in all of your situation. So it says it causes health to all the flesh. So you could say it this way, that the word is like a medicine for your life.
Amen.
Well, what does a medicine do? A medicine changes the natural into something better, doesn't it? If you have a headache and you take ibuprofen or something, you take it, it changes that natural for the better, gets rid of the headache, right? Think about a thing, a little thing of Neosporin, right? That's a little ointment, right, for cuts and scrapes or whatever, and it's supposed to speed up the healing process. I mean, I've used it many times. But I know this about it, even though in that little bottle, it's got properties or whatever, it's made up to help you and to heal faster and to make your cuts and wounds heal on a more speedy process. If you don't apply it to the wounds, if you don't apply it to the problem, in that tube, it does nothing for you. Medicine on the shelf, or maybe, you know, Caleb here, he when he wears flip-flops a lot, his feet start to peel quite a bit. So we have this cream that we'll put on him before bed and put him in his onesie pajamas, you know, and he'll wake up and it'll be gone. But he can have those peely feet at night, And we can have that tube sitting right there, and boy, it sure could do the thing. And we know if we just rub that on his feet, you know, it'll work, and we can know and sing the praises of that. But until we squirt it on our hands, rub it on his little feet, and he squirms around because we're tickling him so bad, until we do that, it won't work, right? It won't work. Well, this Word of God's the same thing. The Word of God has supernatural abilities to change your circumstances, but until the Word is applied to those areas, it won't change them. Amen. And that's what we're going to help you with today. Hallelujah. The other day, we went to Allegheny State Park, and Caleb just started to learn how to ride a bike, and so we've gotten bikes and things like that, and I got a little rack on mine that you can stick like a car seat on there, and Abby can ride behind me, and she just loves it, you know, and we ride for a while. But we got back to the car, and we're parked kind of far away from where the bathrooms are. It's not like they're just, you know, a second away. It's a little bit of a walk and that. And well, with Abby's little seat, so I thought, you can't do it by yourself. I mean, I've almost tipped her over like 3 times in that thing. I'll get off and like the weight of it, and she'll go, whoa! As she says to me, I'm giving her a little run. I didn't drop her, but I got close. And so every time that I get it on and off that thing, Courtney will hold the bike steady, and I'll put her in there. Well, this time, now Abby is not skilled in patience at all. She's our 2-year-old in the nursery. I mean, that kid wants it, and she wants it yesterday, right? Yeah. And so when she's done riding her bike, she is ready to get out of that car seat and run around and get some energy out. And I know this, and if you don't get to her quick, like, she'll let you know. And she's loud, and it's not good for your ears or anybody else around. And so I'm standing there, and I'm waiting for Courtney to get it out and to hold the thing. And I look, Courtney's nowhere to be found. There her and Caleb are riding off to the bathrooms, and I'm standing there with Abby, who's starting to lose her patience and lose her temper, and things are getting heated. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm on my own with this. And I thought, you know, that there would be no way to get her in and out of that thing safely. I'm like, well, I'm not going to have her, all these people around that are camping and hanging out there, I'm not going to have her ruin their time. I'm going to make this happen, you know. And I rigged up a little system where I could stand a certain way, lean the bike on myself, and get her out safely. And now it was actually kind of exciting, because now I know I can do it by myself and take her places when I want to if she's not around. But my point is I didn't realize that the potential that I had by myself to do something. And so what are you talking about? I'm convinced that Christians don't know what they have at their own disposal to change things in their life. You know why I'm convinced by that? Because I talk to Christians. I'm around Christians. I hear them when they tell me about their problems, when I ask them how their day's going. And the things that come out of their mouth. And when I hear the doubt and unbelief, and I hear the griping and the grumbling and the moaning, and when things are going good, everybody's praising, and then when things are going bad, you can hear the quiver in their voice, you can see the sadness on their face, you can see they're down, and I think to myself, they must not know. They must not know what they have at their own disposal to take care of that problem. It's like when she drove away, and Abby's going bonkers in that thing, for a second I'm like, oh, well, this really stinks. We're going to be sitting here for, you know, I didn't realize what I could do on my own. And Christians don't realize the power and the medicine and the ability to change their circumstances without ever having to ask your pastor, without ever having to get in a prayer line, without ever, you have, and not that those things are bad, please don't misunderstand me, but there's going to come times I'm not available. And there's going to come times when the healing line is not available. And there's going to come times when maybe somebody on the phone you're trying to get a hold of is not available. But see, you don't need all that stuff. Now, thank God, like the Bible says, if any of you is afflicted, let him pray. You can get the job done on your own, but the Bible says we can also add the prayer of agreement. So you're not doing anything wrong by reaching out, is what I'm saying. But there's times where it's a crisis or something bad happening, and you got to get to it. Praise God. And I'll tell you, you might not think that's a crisis, but when there's a 2-year-old and there's other people around and she starts being Abby, that's a crisis. And I had to act. I don't have time. I have to get back from the bathroom for help. You have something at your disposal. Go real quick to Romans 10 and verse 6. Remember, the Word has the ability to change. Amen. Romans 10 and verse 6. I want to show you what the Word says about it. Now, what this is going to do is we're going to inject faith into you this morning, and you're going to walk out here and say, wow, I'm a little more capable than I thought I was. I have, it's going to do something for your step this morning. You're going to walk with a little chin up a little higher and chest out a little farther. And when the trials and circumstances come, you're not going to get down and say, okay, it's time to act. It's time to act. Praise God. You know, I'm just going to be completely open and honest with you. There are times that I won't take medicine because I'll believe God for my healing and get it. But there's times where I'll have a splitting headache and I know that I just got to pop a couple ibuprofen and 5 minutes later my headache's gone and I do it. I'm just telling you the truth. Medicine is not bad. God's highest way is always not medicine and getting healed without getting cut open, right? And having to take. But God's not against it. Praise God. God is for where your faith is at. And if your faith is in the medicine and in the doctors, praise God, use them. I know I have. Praise God. But what I'm saying about that is when I get a headache personally, I don't stress about it. Well, I just know, boop, gone. And that's where you're going to be today. When something happens, would you get a life headache? A financial headache, a physical headache, you say, oh, I got medicine for that. I just got to pop the medicine, apply the medicine, and we'll be all right. Yeah, it's the truth. Romans 10 and verse 6 says this. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise or this way. Look what the Bible says to you now. It says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? The Bible's saying, don't say in your heart, where's Jesus? Where's my help? What do I do? We got to bring him back. We got to bring him back here. You don't need him anymore. Now, let me qualify that statement. He's giving you his word. The word is him. By him giving you the word and what to do, that's him telling you, here's what to do. When I say you don't need him, don't run out of here and say, oh, that's not a Jesus church. I'm saying you don't need Jesus to come back in your situation, in the flesh, and handle things for you. That's what I mean. Of course, we need the Lord. Where would we be without him? But do you understand what I mean? Because this verse is talking about physically bringing him on the scene. You don't need him anymore like that. Now, thank God, we have it better than they had it. They needed him back then. He was one person in one location, and there was a world that desperately needed to get to him. Now he's one person in a million locations on the inside of us, and we have him. So that's what I mean when I say we don't need him anymore. It says, who shall descend into the deep as to bring Christ up from the dead? You don't need him. But what saith it, verse 8? The word is nigh thee, or the word is near you. You, personally. Everybody say this. Say, the word is near me.
The word is near me.
You don't have to repeat this, but the word is not just near your pastor. The word is not just near the TV minister that has the big ministry. The word is not just the missionary, near the missionary. The word is near you. Praise God. What is it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. And we say that. That's what we are. If you were to label what we are, you know, we're not a denomination, but if you were going to put a label, we're word of faith. We just believe the Bible. We believe the word of faith, the receiving of the promises of God, the saying of the promises of God. That's what we are. The word of faith, which we preach. Well, we know that faith has the ability to change circumstances, right? So the Bible says, just like that other day, I didn't need her to get her out of the car seat. I woke up and realized, you know what? I can be blessed and do something without her here. Without having her to hold it and to get, you know, I can just do this myself with Abby. Same thing. You don't need Jesus. And if the Bible says you don't need to bring Jesus back on the scene, there ain't no human being on earth that trumps him anyways. So he's saying, you got the goods on your own is what he's trying to say to you. Now again, do not get into the ditch. It says, I'm never going to call my pastor for help. I'm never going to ask. God gave you a pastor to help you.
Amen.
And I'll just point you to the word and we'll do the word anyways, right? God gave us the ability to pray with one another. God gave us the ability to lay hands. So we're not diminishing those things, but I'm trying to let you know that you got more than what you think you got. Right? So many Christians at times, I mean, let's just be honest. Christians sometimes are the weakest, the most defeated people, most doubtful people that I know. Sometimes that's just the case. That shouldn't be that way.
Right.
When you realize what's at your disposal, you are meant to be a world dominator, a circumstance dominator, victory in your life. Praise God.
Right.
And so the Bible says you don't need Jesus. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. You know, what does the Bible say in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Amen.
You know, if you, let's say you had, your house was getting foreclosed on and you were on the verge of bankruptcy, whatever, and losing everything you had. But there was a bank account with your name on it. It had all the money in it to pay those bills and to fix that problem. But if you didn't know about that money, you would go under and you would sink and you'd lose everything all the while you didn't have to. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know is going to hurt you. And, but once you become in the know, then you can start to use it. Glory to God. Just like when you learn about that bank account, oh, there's money there. I can use that to pay those bills. So the Bible says you don't need Jesus to come on the scene. That's encouraging to me. Because it says the word is near you. So he's telling you, you got something at your disposal that will take the place of what Jesus could do on the earth. Well, what did Jesus do on the earth? He healed, he set free, he delivered, he blessed everywhere he went. Does any of those situations that you wrote on your blue card need a touch from Jesus? Do they need a deliverance? Do they need a blessing? Do they need a set free? Do they need a release? Well, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Well, the Bible says you don't need Jesus to do it, but that's what Jesus does. He says, the word is near you. Matthew 8 and verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, verse 6, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. This wasn't just a hangnail or a headache. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered. Now notice what the centurion said. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof. Notice this. But speak the word only. And you're going to see what Jesus thought of this man. Because this man is making a declaration. He's saying, Jesus, don't need you on the scene. Don't need your physical presence at my house. I know you're busy. Do other things. All I need you to do, Lord, is speak the word O-N-L-Y. That's what he said. That's what he said. Speak the word only. Now, let's see if Jesus got offended. Let's see if Jesus thought, wait a minute, no, that's not enough. Let's find out. Speak the word only. And he goes on, he says, and my servant will be healed. And said in verse 9, he says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So he had soldiers that were under him. He was in a place of authority. And I say, notice this, he said, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. What's he saying? He's saying, when I need people under authority, that are under my authority to do something, when I need somebody to go somewhere, I don't grab them by the arm and walk them to where they need to go. If I need them to come here to me, I don't walk to them and grab them by the hand. He says, I just say, come here, or go do that. And he says, because they're under my authority, they have to go and do it. Right? So he knew something about authority, and that's why he was saying to Jesus, I don't need you to come over, just say something. What is he saying? I recognize, Jesus, that you have authority over this situation. You are the healer. You have authority over sickness. You don't have to come there and drag sickness by the hand. All you got to do, because you have authority, like I have authority over people, when I want them to go, I say go. When I want them to come, I say come. All you got to do, Jesus, is open your mouth. You have authority. Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. And he goes on, and Jesus said in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, this is quite a statement, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Can you imagine impressing Jesus so much that he says, I've never seen faith like that in America, like I see from you. Oh, I want that to be me. I want to be in that position where he looks at me and says, I have not found anybody in the United States of America with faith like you. That's what he said to this guy. In Israel, I've never found such great faith. And again I say to you that many shall come from the east and west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We don't need to read all that. That's for another time. But he tells them, go your way. And at that self-same hour, the Bible says he was healed.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to see about that, is that Jesus didn't need to come on the scene for a grievous situation. All that was needed to change that situation was the word or the medicine applied to the problem.
Amen.
And it worked. And it worked, hallelujah. Your job is to, now here's what, remember, now go back, Heather, if you go back to verse 8 at the end, he says, but speak the word only. We talk about the application of the word. like a thing of Neosporin or a thing of foot cream or a bottle of pills that you take, you know, whatever, you apply that in that way. So the application, it's not the word alone. See, isn't it interesting that the power to change that situation with the centurion was always available, but it wasn't done until somebody spoke and that applied the medicine to the problem. Did you see that? The problem was there, the healer was always there, but it didn't get fixed until the word was spoken. So the application of the medicine, how you apply that, is to get the word in your mouth and speak that word concerning those situations, those problems, those circumstances. Applying the word to your problem. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and verse 17, it's your job to speak or apply the word.
Amen.
You see, Jesus is not here to do it for you. Jesus is in heaven. And when the guy says, speak the word only, now you might think to yourself, well, you know, that's Jesus. Jesus has the ability. But the Bible says all authority in Matthew 28 has been given unto me, Jesus said. And then he said to the disciple, all authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore. What's he saying? Because I have all authority, I give you all authority. Luke 10 says this. It says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, how is authority used? We saw in Matthew 8. The way authority is used is by speaking it.
Amen.
I don't have to drag Caleb into the playroom to pick it up. I just say, buddy, go pick it up. I don't have to drag him, buddy, go get ready for bed and go get your PJs on or go get ready to brush your teeth. I don't have to grab him by the hand and take him there. Well, I have authority over him. I just say, buddy, go do it. And he does it because he's under my authority. Just the same way that sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression, fear, anxiety, torment, problems with your business, problems with your children is all under the authority of the Word.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? That Jesus has been exalted and given a name above all names. Depression is just a name. Cancer is just a name. Financial lack and poverty are just names. Jesus has authority over all those things. So I don't know. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, even our faith. Overcomes the world. Well, in heaven, you're not going to have sickness. In heaven, you're not going to have poverty. In heaven, you won't have depression. In heaven, you won't have the temptation to worry and to fear and to wring your hands. Those are things of the world, and the Bible says that you have the ability to overcome every single one of them. Absolutely. They're of the world. God wants you to be victorious over them all, but you got to apply the right thing. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. You will all be so proud of me last night. It was 4th of July service, and because it was the holiday, nice weather, and you know, I wanted people to still come to church and hear the word, we called it an hour of power, and I actually finished from 6 o'clock. I got done at 7:02. I mean, I told you, we are a church that believes in miracles, and I proved that miracles still exist last night. Hallelujah. Now, we're already at 11:01, but we won't be going too much farther, but I just thought that was amazing. We just cut the worship down a little bit. We didn't skimp on the word. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, what's a sword used for? Now, of course, this is back in those times. They didn't have guns. So the sword was their weapon, right? But what did a sword do? It cut down the problem.
Yeah.
Right? It took care of the enemy. It took care of the opposition.
Yeah.
When the opposition would come, slice! Cut you down, right?
Yeah.
Take care of it. Just the same way a gun would do now, or a tank, or a jet, fighter jet, whatever. That was the weapon of that time. So the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit. Well, now we're going to find out what that sword of the Spirit is, which is the Word of God. So the Bible says that the Word is your weapon. Just like we said earlier, a weapon can change the natural, can it? The word can change the natural. But when it says, take with you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that word there, last three words, where it says word of God, that word is the word rhema in the Greek, which means the spoken word of God. Speak the word only.
Yeah.
Because until the word is spoken, Jesus could be in that situation all he wants. But the centurion said, I know something about authority. I need you to open your mouth and use it. So what did Jesus do? He spoke the word.
Yes.
be healed, and he was. He applied the word to the situation. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is not a sword at all until it gets in your mouth and spoke, and then all of a sudden, the sword comes out. And what's it do? It starts cutting down your situations. It starts cutting down your problems when the word is applied to that situation. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Today's going to be a very easy message, and I'm going to leave you with a to-do list or one thing to do when you leave. It's going to be simple, but it'll be profound and it'll change it. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's saying the word is better than any natural thing that you could apply at all. The word trumps it. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But this is what I want you to see in the beginning. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Well, this Bible sitting on the shelf, or sitting on the stands in Walmart, or just sitting there, is not powerful at all. It's not. It's just another book just sitting there. But when you take the words of this book and get them into your heart and get them into your mouth and then release them, they become a weapon. They become a spiritual weapon. You become like an army tearing things down. Praise God. Because the word of it in and of itself doesn't do anything. Jesus had to speak the word. Paul said this, he said, calling those things which be not as though they are. He said, if you want your situation to change, you got to start calling them something.
Yeah.
Start calling them the word.
Yeah.
See, the word is not going to speak for itself. I'll prove it to you. You know what that is? It's not going to talk by itself. The word, the profoundness of the word, remember God said, he said, my word goes forth out of my mouth. It does not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that thing which I have sent it to do, right? Like the rain, it will hit the surface, it will cause it to change, bring forth and bud. Where there's no healing, healing will spring up. Where there's lack, prosperity will spring up. Where there's depression, joy will spring up. Where there's fear, conquering and victory will and strength will spring up. When the word is applied. God is not going to apply the word for you. Jesus is not going to apply the word for you. They expect you to get it in your mouth. That is the word of God, the word of faith which we speak. Second Corinthians 4, a couple verses left. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, I believe it is. The word of faith. This is just like any book when it just sits there. But when you get it in your mouth and release it, something happens. Glory to God. Something happens to the situation. Praise God. Just like the rain, when the rain hits, we don't see the change, but over time you see the change. You see the leaves starting to come on the trees. You see flowers starting to spring up. Because why? It has to change. It has to give way to that which has those changing properties. The word applied to the situation might not look like anything's happening. Might look like it's the same. In fact, let me just say this by the Spirit of God. It might look like the situation's turned out in the exact opposite way of you believe. But see, when you trust God, you say, all things work together for the good to those that love God. Even when it doesn't go the way you think it's supposed to go, if you're doing the word and speaking the word, and you're putting change on it, and if you trust God, say, Lord, I know you're turning this around. I might not see it. It might look difficult here. It might look hard. But I know it's going to work out for my better. I know it's going to work out for my benefit. Absolutely. Just like the rain hits, it's like, oh, yeah, what's that doing? And then all of a sudden, you look back, and whoa, look at all those flowers. Look at the trees. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. Of course, it's good to believe the word, right?
Yeah.
But you can't stop there. I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. What is the speaking? The application of the medicine.
Sure.
When you speak the word to those problems and circumstances, praise God, that's when the medicine gets applied.
Hallelujah.
Now go with me to Mark 11:23 and we'll close with this. Mark 11:23. Remember, the Bible says that the spoken word of God, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the spoken word of God, get the word in your mouth and start speaking the word. It says it becomes like a sword. Well, look what it says in verse 23. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say..." So saying is important, but it's not just saying. It's saying the right things. Yeah. Well, what are the right things? Speaking the word is the right thing. "For whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says." What's he saying? He's saying, when you speak the word, you're cutting that mountain down. What is a mountain? A mountain's anything that stands in the way of you and your blessing. Maybe it's a depression mountain. Maybe it's an anger mountain. Maybe it's a worry mountain, a stress mountain, a fear mountain, a physical mountain, a financial mountain. But the Bible says when you speak the word becomes like a sword, and you are just hitting that mountain. Boom, taking a chunk out of that depression mountain. Speaking the word to that situation. Boom, taking a chunk out of that physical problem. It's a spiritual thing. It's happening in the spirit. Until all of a sudden the mountain's destroyed and gone, and it's out of your way, and boom, there's freedom. That's how it happens. And that's why Brother Hagin had the revelation. He said, "Boy, I see him where the word believes only in that one time. The word says in there three times, and the Lord said to him, you're going to have to do three times the saying that you are the believing." Why? Because every time you say it, bam, smacking that mountain. Do you see how it changes things when you think about the word being a sword of the Spirit? It's not literally taking the word and bashing that thing over the head, but every time, for example, how does that look? Let's say I got a physical problem. The Bible says he heals all my diseases. By his stripes I'm healed. And the doctors tell me something. And I say, no, body. The Bible says that by his stripes I am the healing Lord. I'll heal all my diseases. What just happened is a big fat sword came out of my mouth. And it's standing at the base of that sickness mountain. And when I speak that, bam, nailed that thing. Chunk goes flying out of that thing. Say it again. Boom. Say it again. Boom. Say it again. Boom. Yeah. The more you say it, the more you have it. Absolutely. It's true. I've proven this out. It works. It absolutely works. Get the sword out of your mouth. So I want to just real quick use this example to you, because I think we like, as Christians, we like works mentality. If we're working ourselves up into a sweat, or working ourselves up into the doing and the doing and the doing and the natural and the natural and the pushing and the pulling, we feel better about ourselves. And When we started this church, of course, I've told a million times, I fought a million and one. Right? Quit my job, pastored the church for free, stayed home with Caleb. That financially put us every month $1,200 behind, up to $2,000 depending on groceries, miscellaneous things for the new baby, which was Caleb. $1,200 to $2,000 short every single month, and I'm pastoring full time, taking care of my child full time, she's still working. And Lord told us to do that. You know, I didn't stress about it. I mean, I knew I had to get into faith real quick. But how I did it, I didn't get on my face and beg God. I didn't get on the phone and call a million people and tell them how bad my situation was. I didn't sit there and cry and weep and moan. I knew that wouldn't get the job done. Do you know what I simply did to get our needs met? And you know that in a year's time, when I didn't have a salary, we never missed a payment. We never didn't pay a bill. We never were behind. We were never late. It always came because I applied the word to the situation. And I'm going to show you how I did that. And then in 2 years, I had a salary for 1 year, and this is what the salary comprised of. Whatever was left over after paying all the bills in your small little country church, that's what we're getting. What I'm saying is that for 2 years, we hardly had any extra income. And we were $1,200, $2,000 short. So this is what I did every single day. I said, "Man, I know the word. I know that the word can change the natural. And the natural don't look too good right now. The natural looks barren. The natural looks desolate. It looks dark. It looks void. But the word, remember, the word causes life to spring up where there's no life. That's the properties of the word that it can do that. So like I said, I would sit there. I just want to show how easy and stress-free this is. I would be home and I would feed Caleb. And how many times a day do we have to feed him? I don't know. Back then, I mean, you saw his cheeks. He ate a lot. And he ate all the time. But that was my cue. That was my cue. Every time I'd feed him, I'd say, "Okay, it's time to get the sword out and start chunking down the mountain. The mountain of debt, the mountain of poverty that's in my life." I mean, we were in poverty. Not only were we that much short every month, we had debt up to our eyeballs. I said, "Well, it's not going to work by crying and complaining, moaning and groaning. The pastor already told me he ain't giving me a salary. So, better get this done with the word." Yeah. But see, we think, "Oh, man, you probably..." No, I have the greatest thing. That, just like that centurion said, just speak the word only. He didn't say only in the fact that it was a small thing. He said, "That's all you need. That is what's going to get the job done in this situation." So I did. Well, the Bible says he'll meet and supply all my needs. The Bible talked about a woman in the Old Testament having supernatural debt payoff. The Bible talks about me being rich and having a full supply. So every single time I would feed him, I would just simply get the sword out and start hacking the mountain down. And I would just say this, I'd say, Father, you said in your word that you'd meet and supply all my needs. You shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it, but I know you did. Father, I thank you the word will cause change. And I said, Father, I thank you every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for more than enough, and I thank you for a debt, supernatural debt reduction like that woman in the Old Testament had. If you'll do it for her, you'll do it for me. What was I doing? Chopping it. One chunk at a time, chopping that thing down. Every time I would, Father, you said in Philippians 4:19, you meet and supply my needs. Chopping the mountain down. Chopping the mountain down. Every single time, I would just do that. Never work myself up into a sweat. Never work myself up into a fast-paced, worry, stress. On the floor in a fetal position, moaning and groaning and crying. No, just simply spoke the word. Amen. Your situations that seem so troublesome, that seem so bad, and I'm not saying they're not, that seems so impossible, that seem like there's nothing but death there. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's in your mind. Maybe you are gripped with fear. Maybe you're in debt up to your eyeballs. There's no way to pay your bills. Maybe it's a physical thing where the doctor said there's no hope. There's no chance. It's incurable. But see, they forgot you're dealing with the God of the impossible. Yes. It might be incurable naturally, but God is the God of the impossible. He can spring up life where there's no life. He said, it will not return unto me void. Well, he's not the one speaking it anymore. We are. Right. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe we speak. We believe we speak. God's not speaking it. Jesus isn't speaking it. Amen. If you'll take those situations. Now, I had you write that card down, and you can pull that card back out. Now, this is, you might not know, and you can ask me after service. We don't have time to go through everything right now. The one thing, line, that you put your problem, that was your diagnosis. That was your report. The line under it is going to be your prescription. And you need to find a verse that is in line with what your problem says and what the Word says about it. And you need to write that on it. If you want to put RX on the side, go for it. And hang that up with your medicine. And you need to, every day, like you take your natural medicine, every day you need to apply your medicine, your Word, to that problem. Every day. If it's a financial problem, find out what the Word, and again, if you don't know, just give me a call, email me, whatever. It's come up to after service. Pastor, I'm going through this. Do you have a verse on this? And if I don't, we'll find you one. There's answers to everything, a single thing you're going through in the Word. And every single day, how do I apply it? Well, if it's a financial need, Philippians 4:19, you say, my God shall supply all my needs. 2 Corinthians 8:9, he said he'd make me rich, right? And you apply that to it. You say, oh no, that's changing. That's changing. And you're applying it, and you're applying it. You know, when I put, if I get a cut, I did something really stupid this turkey season. I was cutting my tag off the turkey's leg, if I tag him, but I was doing it in a way with my real sharp knife, and I went and boom, right into the bone on here. It did something to the nerve. It's getting better, praise God, but I have a little scar there, and when I put Neosporin on that thing, put a Band-Aid on there, and when I went to change the Band-Aid because I got it wet, and I opened it and it looked the same, I said, oh, that Neosporin's not working. I didn't say that.
Right.
When you apply the word and the next day it looks the same, don't flush your hope down the toilet. And get yourself out of faith. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. Give the rain time to cause it to bring forth and bud and to produce in your life. It'll work every single time. If it's a physical thing, you say, nope, the Bible says this about my body, and you apply it every day. I call myself that way. That's going to happen in my life. If it's a depression thing, no, I have the joy of the Lord. I am full of joy. Praise God. That's what you need to call yourself that. If it's fear, you say, oh no, he's not giving me the spirit of fear. I refuse that fear. And what do you do? Applying the ointment. Applying the ointment. And then after, it'll change. Give it a time to work. See, some of us have got ourselves into such a mess. We want God, we've done it for years, and we want God to turn it around. Give him a chance. Give the word a chance to bring forth and bud. He likens the word to agricultural process, which it takes a little time, but it'll work. So you have your card. If you want to write out something better, go ahead. If you have more than one problem, write down all your diagnoses, put underneath it your prescription, and every single day, or whenever that thought starts to bombard you, go to your medicine and say, nope, I'm applying the medicine. I'm applying the medicine. Applying the medicine. Amen?
Amen.
If you'll do that, you'll start to see change in the natural. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for change. Lord, you don't want us to stay the same. We're not just at the mercy of the devil and at the mercy of the world. The world and the devil may throw things our way, but we have a higher answer. It's called faith. Faith in the Word. Faith is always in two places, our heart and our mouth. So, Father, I thank you as we start to speak the Word. At first, we'll get the Word in our heart. and we start to speak the word or apply the medicine, just like you said in your word, it will cause increase. It will cause change. It will cause life. It will cause health to all our flesh. The word is powerful. It's the greatest ointment. It's the greatest prescription. It's the greatest antibiotic that's ever been produced. We thank you for it, Father. We glorify you this morning. Thank you for our situations changing. This is the recipe for it. Thank you, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I want everyone to ask yourself this question. I don't care if you've heard me say it a million times. It's never a bad thing to be assured of your salvation. Ask yourself this question in your head. Say, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If the answer isn't a 100%, I know I'd go to heaven. Today I want you to get off the fence of eternity. Because God has made it simple. If you think you're going to heaven because you go to church, or if you think you're going to heaven because you've been a good person, or you think you're going to heaven because you've lived a moral life, or you've been generous, you're mistaken, because those things cannot get you into heaven. If they could, Jesus would not have needed to die on the cross. But on the same token, no amount of bad things you've done can keep you out. No amount of missing church can keep you out. And no amount of being stingy and being disobedient can keep you out. It's all about what you do with Jesus. He died on the cross for you. The Bible says if you call on His name, you're saved. Notice the stipulation. Simple. Call on His name. If you believe He died and rose again, you are a candidate and qualified for salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to get off the fence of eternity here this morning and you want to know for sure that you're born again, and you could say, Pastor, I'm just not sure that I've ever done that. I believe in Him, but I'm not sure I've ever asked Him in my life. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. Not going to have you come to the front. Won't have you stand up or say anything. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody that's never done this before? Want to receive Jesus? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands. So if by chance somebody in here or listening by live stream at the moment or in the future by archives have not made Jesus their Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they get saved. And all that requires is just say, Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. If you'll do that and cry out to Him, He's got a wonderful plan. And then the next step is to get planted in a good church where you can learn about all that God has for you and watch your life start to change. Let's just go ahead corporately give thanks to God this morning for what we've received. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. If the Word had the ability to change somebody back then, it has the ability to change now. The Word never changes. We bless you, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father. Yeah, I better obey that. I'm not talking about, like I said, every once in a while. Somebody here has been having splitting headaches. I mean, really, really bad headaches. Who are you? And come forward and get hand laid on you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Anybody here that has that, obey that. Don't miss this. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Splitting headaches. Anybody? Come forward and we'll lay hands on you. The reason the Lord would do that is because He loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daryl, for your boldness. You know, I was praying there, and all of a sudden it came in, and actually what I saw in the Spirit was a head with a split through it. Not that someone's head's going to split open, but I knew in the Spirit what that meant. Splitting headaches. Well, come on, let's come up here and just line up here in the front so everybody can come up here. Come on up, ladies, and just kind of stand in a line facing me. The Bible says to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus said that. And so if you're going through something, it's not that I have the healing power, I don't. But something about the laying on of hands, God says healing power is transmitted. So what's going to happen when I lay hands on you? I'm going to say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We have authority over sickness and disease. Your job then from this point on going forward is to just thank God for your healing. Thank you, Pastor prayed for me. Thank you, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I think it's so wonderful that God would love you that much to call something like this out. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command healing from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. We say, headaches no more. headaches no more. You're not allowed to be on them. He's the temple of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we command these headaches to stop from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We say, headaches no more. You're not allowed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. From the top of her head, the bottom of her feet, we command healing to come into her. Spirit of headaches, you go. You're not permitted to be on her anymore. You leave her. We command divine healing from the top to the bottom of her feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. If you now, let me also caution you with this. If you've never seen anything like that before, if that's different for you, don't just get weirded out and never come back. Come to the pastor and say, what was that? And we'll show you what it says in the Bible. We want to make sure to be Bible people. Amen? So many times people, I know personally somebody that completely forfeited their place of God. They were in the place they should be, and they saw some things like that. And instead of asking, you know, I remember when I didn't have a clue about laying on of hands and things like that, and I saw it. Oh, man, I saw people falling under the power of God and falling out. And that just, for lack of a better word, wigged me out in my mind. And I was in a meeting in May of 2002. I just got born again in January. And I went home, and instead of just saying that church is weird and it's from the granola section, you know what I mean by that, fruity, flaky, and nutty, instead of saying that's where that church was from, I said, you know what? I trust my pastor enough by now to know that he's only doing the Word of God, but I also trust enough to know that I don't know everything. And so I cried out to God. I said, Lord, I said, I want more of you. If this is you, I want more of it. And I think for about a half an hour, that's all I said is, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. And then the next night of the service, the last night of the service, Kevin Durant and the Durants were in the Fredonia Church. And I'm sitting towards the back in the middle. And he's preaching fire. If you ever seen Kevin Durant preach, it's ba ba ba. I mean, it's just woo! Spiritual machine gun coming at you. And I'm sitting there, and he stops the service. Now, I'm not a pastor. I'm just sitting in the congregation in the back. And he stops the service, and he walks down the aisle, and he points at me, and he says, you stand out in the aisle. Well, that was about the most embarrassing thing ever, but I'm glad he did it. He said, stand out in the aisle. And he said to me, he said, you want more of God all night the night before in prayer. And when I went to bed, I want more of you, Father. I want more of you, Lord. And he says to me, you want more of God. I said, I do. I lifted my hands. And it felt like somebody spiritually hit me with a baseball bat right between the eyes. I flew back and was caught by the ushers. And I was talking to Pastor Tim, who he wasn't a pastor at that time either. I said, how hard did he hit me? And he said, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. The power of God knocked me flat on my rear. My point is, when you see things that are different, or if you encounter something in the Word that, that's not how I was taught, or that, don't get weirded out and just leave. At least come and let me weird you out in a conversation. Right? At least come and find out I either have lost my mind or it's in the Bible. Amen? So many people forfeit it because they're just, you just have to come to the realization you don't know it all, and there's things that are just going to make us uncomfortable in our flesh sometimes. Amen? Let's thank Him again. Make sure there's nothing else, Father. Thank You for those healings. Well, thank You those headaches are gone. They're not allowed to stay there. We thank You for it, Father. We just want to make sure there's nothing more. We bless You this morning. We love You. We honor You. We glorify You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Oh, we love You, Father. What am I doing? I'm circling the airport, the Spirit, just making sure that He doesn't want anything else said. We bless You, Father. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Father, it doesn't seem like there's anything else. So we love You this morning. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Don't forget Book of the Month, Wednesday night service, 6:30. You are dismissed.